Hello! Welcome to This Song, the podcast that asks artists to talk about important songs in their lives. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and here at This Song, we hold that yes, songs are important. They can be way more than just entertainment, way more than art even. Some songs, well, they just snatch you up and put you down on a path that you didn't even know was there. And those are the songs we want to hear about. In this episode, I sat down with most of the members of Crooks, an Austin band that plays this really compelling mix of roots and specifically Texas music. It's country mixed with conjunto. There are interweaving guitar, trumpet, and accordion parts, and it's all played with this reckless abandon. They came into Studio 1A to promote the release party for their new record, Wildfire, and afterwards I sat down and got to interview most of the members about songs that changed them in some way. I got to talk to everyone except Joey, the bassist, who had to go to work. That's my second bassist miss, by the way. I lost the audio to my conversation with bassist Brad Fordham in the last episode of This Song with Brennan Lee and Noel McKay and Lisa Pankratz, and I think I'm going to have an episode devoted to bass players talking about music. And in fact, I think I will do that. But first, on to Crooks. I interviewed guitarist Ryan Goble first, who actually had a surprising choice. He's a country guitar player, but he did not choose a country song. Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Goble. I'm sitting here with Ryan Goble in Studio 1A. Ryan is the guitar player in Crooks. And yes. Ryan, do you have an important song that you want to tell us about?
Yes, I do. The year was 2000. I was 13 or 14 years old, about to enter high school. Mm-hmm. And I would like to start by saying that in my mind, this was the worst era in music history. It was like after
ever.
Grunge. I mean, for me, since I've been alive, okay? And I was like, I remember being actually depressed by how bad music was. But that's also because I only knew what was on the radio. So it was like the boy band era, and then like Limp Bizkit and Kid Rock and all that stuff was really huge. And it was, you know, like post Nirvana, and then like kind of pre me being old enough to discover my own music. Okay. So I think my brother played this song for me, but it's called Only for the Weak, and it's by a band called In Flames. It's a metal band out of Sweden. And it was the first time in my life that I found something that like wasn't on the radio and realized that there is good music going on. It might just not, you know, it's not shown to you. You have to go find it.
Right. So that was, so when you're 13, you're really radio dependent.
You absolutely. Really, you know, like whatever they want you to hear is what you hear. And this was like that first moment where it was like, hey, you can go out and you can find bands. You can have favorite bands that maybe nobody's ever heard of, or, you know, like in your hometown. And you can find these cool bands that you can get behind and like go see them in small venues and stuff instead of going to, like, for us, the Frank Irwin Center or something, you know?
Right on. And do you remember how it made you feel at the time?
So epic. Because it was also like my intro to metal too. So, you know, like I had heard a couple Pantera songs. I was late to the game on that. But like that was my first like, oh, this is the coolest genre of music I've ever heard.
And were you playing guitar?
Yeah, I was playing guitar. So I was like, I'd started playing guitar when I was like 10 years old and then quit until I was 14. So I just picked it up again. So like instead of just playing Nirvana and Green Day songs or something, it was like, oh, this metal stuff is really cool. And it's really hard to do. You know, it's an intricate medium of guitar for sure.
And so did you start playing like in a metal band?
No, I mean, I eventually did. I was a bedroom guitar player for years and years and years and years. And like, you know, for the senior talent show, me and my friend Matt had a band called the Matt and Ryan Band, which is just like two acoustic guitars and kind of Dave Matthews-ish, which is a little embarrassing, but it's true and I stand by it.
Everybody's happy, everybody's free, keep the
Yeah, so,
but I mean, after that, you know, like once I sort of graduated from the, you know, being a house musician, I guess, you know, not in the term that it's used now, but like only playing in my house or garage. Yeah, I mean, rock and metal was like my first outlet of being in a band.
Do you still try to like bring that epicness of In Flames when you play?
I mean, we like our bass player, Joey, has a metal side too. And we, you know, like there's, I don't know, metal music is so epic. And like for us to have trumpets and accordions, we can have like these really epic bridge parts that are sort of based in metal and or classical music. But, you know, since it's not just chugging and screaming, it doesn't sound as heavy as it would if with a metal band.
You know? You guys are a pretty epic band.
Yes, definitely. We do have epic parts, yes.
Yes, definitely.
Well, and yeah, we derive from those bands too, yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it. You know, I was surprised at first when Ryan chose a song from a Swedish metal band, but then when you listen to this Crook song, Fork in the Road, I can hear it. You can hear that epicness that he's talking about in that intro. It just kind of comes at you. Next up, we have the utility guy, Doug Day. A utility musician is the guy in the band who can play anything, and Doug does play anything. Percussion, trumpet, I think he plays guitar, and we're about to hear about the song that really inspired him to become that kind of player. So I'm here with Doug, and Doug is the percussion slash trumpet player in Crooks.
Right. Yes.
And so what is a song that you find important?
Well, in my life as a person and a musician, one of the songs that really kind of turned a corner for me was a deep cut off of Siamese Dream by Smashing Pumpkins called Mayonnaise. And I think it might have been because of why I came across, or when I came across that song. I would say it was 1993, I think. I was 12, 13 years old. And it's kind of when I started to start forming your own opinions, start having more complex emotions and things like that. And I think for that particular song, even though I wasn't maybe mature enough to identify the words or whatever, I've always been more of a music person first before lyrics. But that song really gripped me. And it was one of those ones I had to listen to over and over. As soon as it was done and fading out, I wanted to start it over again. You know, you put it on repeat on that.
The kind of song you fall down a hole with a little bit. It's like, that's the only thing I really want to listen to right now.
Yeah, and maybe you get a little too tunnel vision on it. It was one of those songs for me. And that record in general really colored what I thought music was supposed to be, at least at the time. There's a whole lot of good stuff on that record.
Cool. So, I mean, so you're 13 and you're listening to this Siamese Dream record and you hear Mayonnaise and all of a sudden you just get like hooked on it. Did it make you feel like a certain way or differently than other songs on that record?
I think it's a sadder song, a slower song, and kind of like with wailing vocals and things like that. And right there at the being a burgeoning teenager, I think you start to get some of that angst in you and like nobody in the world knows what I feel like, you know, but this guy does. And I just really identified it and hooked onto it, like so much so, I think it might have really changed the path of me for music because at the time I had a snare drum that I found, my dad's snare drum. I found it in the attic and I wanted to learn how to play the drums to it. So I did. I learned how to play the drums to that song. And then after that, I picked up a guitar and I wanted to know how to play the guitar for that song, you know, and then sing along to it. And it just kind of got me into that mindset of like, hey, you know, I could kind of branch out and learn a lot of different instruments. You know?
Was it the first time that you'd ever heard a song where you were like, I really want to learn how to play that song? Like, I think that I am capable of playing the song.
It was like the first one I wanted to copy for sure and learn how is he doing that? How is he making that sound? How does the drummer make that hi-hat sound open and close, just that way or that particular thing, or what's the coordination between his feet and his hands. And it made me want to figure all of that stuff out.
And your dad is a drummer, or was a drummer?
It's funny enough, he played drums in high school, and he also played trumpet, and so did I. But I don't think I was necessarily following that path. I think that I just happened to find this instrument, and it was part of me after, you know, shortly after that.
And did you go to him and say, like, hey, I need a little help, I can't quite figure this out? Or was it more just like that thing that you do where you just kind of dive into the instrument and start to figure it out all on your own and do epic woodshedding?
Well, I don't think that my dad will be offended if he hears me say this, but while he loves music and appreciates every genre that there is out there, he's not so much geared towards playing it. I think it was an interest of his that kind of passed him by, and he still had some of the parts and pieces, the actual physical musical instruments, but he's more of a mechanical mind. He loves taking things apart, putting them together, these kinds of things, and
which is a real similar thing to like getting a song and breaking it down.
Exactly.
And saying, like, this is how this drum fill was executed, or this is how this guitar chord, you know, you get this particular guitar sound when you do this on the guitar. Yeah,
sure. And I'm glad that I might have inherited those types of thing, that mindset from him, but I just applied it to a different place.
Right on.
And yeah, it was pretty cool.
So without mayonnaise, maybe you wouldn't be the kind of musician that you are today.
Maybe not. Maybe I would. Maybe I wouldn't be a musician at all. Maybe I would only kind of have ended up specializing in one thing instead of kind of branching out and trying to be a jack of all trades and a master of none kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Totally.
So, in my opinion, that was a turning point.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Won't you let me in? The sun's coming up and I'm coming down. I'm coming around again. Baby, 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 don't you want me? Baby, won't you let me in? The sun's coming up and I'm coming down. I'm coming around again. And I'm coming around again.
Sometimes a song is so good that you just want to learn how to play it. And for Doug, mayonnaise was so good that he wanted to learn how to play every part of it. And below me, you can hear the Crook song coming around again, and you can hear Doug trading licks with Anthony Ortiz Jr., who is the accordion player. And we're about to hear from Anthony about a song that he learned to play as a kid, but he still brings the influence of that song to his playing in Crooks today. So, ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Ortiz Jr.
When I was about 9 years old and I was 10 years old, I was starting to learn how to play music. My dad and my mom bought me an accordion. And I remember to this day the very first song, and I still remember how to play it from the very up to now. It was called Las Nubes, which is by Little Joe and La Familia.
Ya todo se me acabó, no me puedo resistir. Si voy a seguir sufriendo, mejor quisiera.
Now that was the first song I ever learned and heard, learning how to play accordion. And it was fun playing that, and I started branching on to more technical accordion music. And the one song that always my favorite song I love playing all the time, no matter where I'm at, I listen to it all the time, is a song called Atotonilco.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is it's an accordion polka. It's just an instrumental.
Okay.
And it was made famous by the accordionist Tony De La Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's played by any and every accordion player who plays Spanish music. They'll know it as soon as you say it. And I've been playing that song all the way up even to now, even with Crooks. I was just telling them earlier in the green room, I don't think they knew, but the intro to one of our songs, Bending Rules, I actually do a little bit of a riff, a solo deal, before we start the actual song, and it's that song, Atotonilco. So I found it pretty cool to be able to incorporate something that I really love and grew up doing into what I love doing now.
Yeah, and what is it about Atotonilco as opposed to, like, all the other songs that you played that really kind of, like, gotcha.
I would say that the technical part of the song. Mm-hmm. Because every accordion player plays different. They add their own little flavor into their song, the, how their technique, how they play it. And so that's one of the few songs where you can change it up a bit to make it your own.
Oh, okay.
It's the same melody, but you can change up how you play it. You can add your own little spices to it. You could add a little more extra notes, a little more, technique into it.
Is it written in such a way where there's like space to add or take away stuff?
Yes, there is. Okay. It's written in a way where you can add more notes or more, I would call it more licks. Mm-hmm. You can make it sound the way you want it to sound.
And is that the way it's typically played by other accordion players? Where everybody takes it and does their own. You'll hear
the standard melody of it. You'll recognize it right away, but everybody will have their own version of it.
And do you think the melody is in some way like more compelling than other, like, say, polka melodies?
Yes. It stands out very, very well. It's a very powerful song. Hear it, it's powerful, it's very technical, it makes you want to dance every time you hear it.
So that's the thing, it makes you want to dance, like it's totally...
Yes, every time you hear it, you want to dance. And if you ever notice when I'm playing the song, I'm always rocking out and doing my thing.
Yeah.
Because it's my favorite song to play.
That's excellent. And we go. Are you always trying to bring a little bit of a Totonico into your playing?
Yes,
like, even if you're not copying the licks... I take that feeling of
a Spanish accordion player, a conjunto accordion player, because that's what I am. That's what I grew up doing. And I try to incorporate that same style of, like, the song, the style that is played into other songs that we do, such as our single, Fork in the Road. It's very, very, there's a lot of accordion in there. There's a lot of fast technical licks in there that I are influenced by that kind of song, like a Tortonico.
Excellent. Right on. And how do you say it again?
A Totonico. I apologize for the Spanish speakers out there because I'm probably saying that wrong.
What is it? Do you know what it means?
If I'm not mistaken, and I'm probably wrong, but I think it's a city in Mexico, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to hear the song now. I feel like it's like I'm in for something really exciting.
If you find the original by Tony DeRosa, it's going to sound real old and you're going to love it. It's great stuff.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right on. A Totonilco is a great song, and you can hear that influence that Anthony brings to Crooks via a Totonilco in the accordion solo below me from Fork in the Road. It's technical, for sure, but it's also very danceable. And speaking of danceable, we're going to hear from drummer Joey Bybee about a song that encapsulates the joy of pure groove for him. So do you have a song that kind of like is transformational in some way for you?
Yeah, I was thinking about it earlier, and it's I have like eras of music that I grew up on. Just to preface it a little bit, both my grandfathers were born in the 20s, grew up in the 30s, and were in World War II. So I had that whole jazz swing, that whole thing. You know, my parents were working nonstop when I was younger, and I was with my grandparents a lot. So the whole jazz thing and all that was like super influential on my life. And then, but it moved into even more than that because, like, my dad's brothers were older than him, and they were both in Vietnam, so they're listening to the whole, like, 60s and 70s, like, you know, the real grungy, I wouldn't say grungy, but the real dirty, you know, like, southern music. But anyways, on that, all of that music kind of led me into, like, really love the song, Susie Q by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, really?
Because there's just something about that bunk, 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 you know, that like really driven, like.
Oh, Susie Q. Oh,
The reason why I like it the most is because it makes you dance. Like, it makes you want to kind of move and groove and everything. And being a drummer and listening to, I listen to the feel of the music, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
That song is so simple and so, it's just a feel. That's all it is. You know what I mean? And it just makes you feel really good. And it's like, he's just telling a girl that he loves her. And with a really kind of sexy groove to it.
It is really lyrically very simple.
Yeah, and the music,
there's not much lyrically to it.
Yeah, it's just a groove, man, and it's groovy.
Do you remember how old you were when you heard Suzy Q for the first time?
I mean, it could have been anywhere from the day I was born to 15 years old. I mean, it was always playing around the house, you know. But yeah, it's just that feel, you know, like that dirty, swampy, southern.
That's what you're trying to bring when you play with Crooks, then. Is that give that feel, that kind of, like, dirty...
Absolutely.
Southern,
yeah,
just like,
yeah. Crooks,
all groove.
Crooks does a lot of dance music, a lot of grooves, and like they have a lot of like mariachi kind of like dance grooves and stuff. And kind of what I was getting at earlier is that like music is I don't really listen to just every one thing. I kind of take everything into account, and I just like to move. So I look at playing drums kind of like dancing, if that makes any sense. Like,
when you started playing drums, was that one of the songs that you like tried to figure out?
I think at some
emulate?
Point I did, yeah, because it was so easy, you know what I mean? Like, it was just so easy and simple, and all that song is just layers, you know. They took the least amount of colors as possible and made something really beautiful out of something really small, I think, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
keep it simple is kind of like my favorite thing, you know. It doesn't have to be crazy, fancy, exciting, even though that stuff is cool, you know. I mean, you can keep it really simple and still make a good feel out of a song.
And I think in roots music, that is what
Absolutely.
You're always going for. You're
Absolutely.
Always going for,
yeah.
You know, the feel. So
yeah, just create a feel, create a vibe and an atmosphere, which is what we do on a lot of our songs now. Crooks does. It's just atmospheric sounds, you know, that just blend together really well and sounds beautiful.
Yeah. And I wish this had been in video, because when you started explaining how Suzy Q felt, like your whole body got into it, your shoulders lifted, you started dancing. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I want music to make me move. I want it to make me dance and make me feel an emotion that you, I don't know. I think for that 3.5 to 5 minutes that you have a song, for however long you have, you should capture an emotion and make somebody feel something.
And people don't always talk about, like, when you talk about feeling, I mean, there's a, lyrics can make you feel a certain way. Like, a good mm-hmm. lyric can make you feel a certain way. A good melody.
Absolutely.
You know, can make you feel a certain way. But rhythm, in some ways, it's like the most basic of all
totally.
Music, and
it's
it
been
gets
around,
into you like
yeah.
in a very like bodily way. So.
Yeah, I could get into really weird stuff and say that everything's vibrating, but I mean, there's vibrations.
It is, everything's
yeah.
vibrating.
There's
yeah.
vibrations everywhere, and you know, I mean, people have been playing rhythm since humans were a thing. You know what I mean?
Since you so, could like, clap your hands together, man.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and you would dance to it, you know. So I think that's why I picked that song, because it's just. Vibrations. It's really cool. I like it.
But, awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you. Appreciate
right
it.
Right on. Thanks. You know, Joey talks about creating an atmosphere, and I think Crooks really accomplishes that on this track, New Mexico. It has a real vibe, but it also really makes you want to move. You know, we're all just vibrations. And finally, I talked to frontman Josh Mazur about a song that set the bar for him as a vocalist. Not necessarily technically, but in the more, I think, important way of emotionally. Okay, I'm here with Josh Mazur, and he is the lead singer of Crooks.
Yep.
And he's got a song that he is going to tell us
I
about.
Had to, it was really, I'm just going to pick a song from a record, because it's really the whole record.
You can talk about the whole record.
Yeah, well, the record is Nirvana Unplugged.
Oh, the MTV Unplugged?
Yeah, and What You Know was a live record, so, you know, I guess it's debatable whether it's actually a record. But anyways...
live records are records,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
It was a TV performance or something, yeah.
But I mean, I love every song on there. If I had to choose one, maybe to apply to this conversation, I think the closing song, "Where Did You Sleep Last Night," the Lead Belly song,
oh.
cover they did was really good.
My girl, don't lie to me. Tell me, when did you sleep last night?
the shine, I would shiver the whole night through.
I think those songs, I'm 33 now, so when that came out, I was pretty young. You know, I was still in middle school or whatever. But I'd just gotten into music. My neighbor gave me a Nevermind tape. And then I was like, holy crap, what is this?
I'm 38, so I mean, I think we all had the same experience of being like,
yeah, mine
heads
was blown.
Exploded.
Totally blown. Yeah. And I learned how to play guitar really terribly after that record. You know, I'm still
was it inspired by Nevermind?
Yeah.
Is that the whole reason you
got
into
music?
Up guitar? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
And, but then, you know, so then Unplugged in New York, you know, that came out. And songs like Where Did You Sleep Last Night are important to me because, I still feel the same way about them as I did back then. Like his voice, the way he sang, like the emotion that he could convey in his voice is unreal. It's like, it gives me goosebumps even thinking about it sometimes, you know? Very few people can actually do that. My favorite songwriters can all do that. You know, it's Townes Van Zandt and like Hank Williams and Kurt Cobain they all have that same unreal power to do that. But, yeah, you know, like Where Did You Sleep Last Night is a great example of it. It's just a beautiful song, you know, written by Leadbelly. And
had you had any experience of Leadbelly before?
No,
you heard that song?
And that record is really important because it got me into, you know, songwriting. I started actually caring about songwriting versus just three power chords, you know. And I think it's funny people ask, like, you know, what's one of the bigger influences for, you know, I'm in a country band and it's Nirvana.
Yeah, well, I mean, but how did, like, so do you remember how you kind of felt when you're in middle school and you hear... You've heard Nirvana, and you've kind of had your mind blown by electric Nirvana, for lack of a better term. But like, and then Kurt Cobain comes and he sits down with just a guitar and he sings "Where Did You Sleep Last Night." And do you remember how that made you feel, as opposed to like how listening to Nevermind made you feel?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Nevermind is obviously like, yeah, we're all angsty, you know, we hate school and our parents and stuff like that. And that's cool, man. You know, we're all going to feel like that. And then it was the exact opposite. Because, you know, it's for Unplugged, it was just like really beautiful. And like, okay, I'm not so mad.
Right.
Maybe I'm actually really sad. I don't know what it is.
Maybe underneath all this anger is a sadness, really.
Why am I so sad? It's so good. But it affected me. And, you know, like I said, I'm, you know, 30, going on 34 now, and I still feel the exact same way every time I hear that. You know?
And when you write songs or when you perform, are you trying to maybe not put across the sadness, but put across that like conveying emotion?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it's important to me. It's because he set the bar so high of like how good you can be at doing that. You know, like conveying your emotions to an audience by, you know, using your voice, and that's all. I think about it all the time. I'll never reach that, obviously, but it's really important to me. It's like one of the most important things, you know, for me being a vocalist is if I'm being playful, to let people understand that I'm being playful, or if a song means a lot to me, I want to convey that, you know, in a way that people maybe don't want to be talking to the person next to them. They're like, holy crap, I need to listen to what this guy's doing right now, you know?
Yeah. And as a songwriter, has there ever been like your Nirvana Unplugged or your Where Did You Sleep Last Night song where you thought like, I think I'm trying to approach that particular kind of like feeling or experience?
No, you know, we haven't really had one of those yet. We're such a big band and there's so much, you know, since we tour a lot, people always want to have, they, you know, it's always the upbeat songs, you know, you want to keep the energy going and stuff like that. So I think if we were to sit down and have one of those shows, it would be a totally different band, you know?
Right.
Those moments are kind of more for me personally, I feel like, you know, if I were to go just play a song for people by myself, you know? But anyways, yeah, so that record meant a lot, and I think it's exemplified in Where Did You Sleep Last Night.
Excellent. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm totally familiar with that record, but I can't say that I can, like, recall
he takes, like,
his Leadbelly.
A last breath, like, the last line of the song, he, like, looks up and takes a huge breath and then just lets this note ring, and it just lasts forever. And you can see, like, his eyes are closed the whole time he's singing. Then he takes a breath, and he opens his eyes, and he says, like, this last word, and it just goes on forever. And there's, like, so much soul in that. It's unbelievable.
Awesome.
I can see it right now just thinking about it. So,
Right on. Well, I feel, like I said, it's cool to do all these interviews because now I get to go listen to the song and like find that moment and experience it too.
Well, I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
I bet I will. Thanks a lot, man. Okay. Thanks so much. That's an insane moment. That's an insane note. And I feel the pain. And I'd forgotten about Nirvana Unplugged, really, but it's definitely worth a re-listen. So thank you, Josh. And there it is, Crooks. And what I loved about interviewing most of the band, except for the bassist, is that you really get a sense of where Crooks as a band is coming from. They play Americana music, but the influences they bring to the table are totally diverse. And I think that's why they're a fun band to listen to and a really great band to see live. And speaking of seeing them live, they are going on tour to promote their new record, Wildfire. So check out their site, crookscountry.com. And hey, they may be coming to your town and you could see them and feel it. And that's it. We've come to the end of yet another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 Austin. This episode was produced and edited by myself, Elizabeth McQueen, with help from David Sanger. The interviews were recorded by Cliff Hargrove. Special thanks to Peter Babb, who books all the bands in Studio 1A. And we have about, I think, 300 who come through every year and who hooked me up with Josh and the boys. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hardproof Afrobeat. You can email us at thissong@kutx.org or tweet us at thissongkutx. Crooks are actually the KUTX Artist of the Month for July 2015. Every month we feature a different Austin band as an Artist of the Month, and we do all kinds of features on them for that month. We have them come into Studio 1A. We have them do a guest DJ set as part of the My KUTX series, and we do a song of the day for them and an Austin Music Minute, and I'll have links to all of those on the This Song page for this episode on the KUTX website. And also, just so you know, the song of the day, the Austin Music Minute, and this podcast, This Song, they're all podcasts, and you can download them all from the KUTX website or subscribe to them on iTunes. And if you like any of these podcasts, we would love a review or a rating on iTunes. We're not too proud to ask. Okay, well, thanks so much for listening, and hey, I'll talk to you next time.